Blog Talk Radio.
It's time, y'all. Time to open up your mind. Time to raise your voice. Time to be entertained, enlightened, and learn more about what you already know. It's showtime. For those that don't know, this show is designed for all of us to get an outside perspective on the inside of someone else's life. BlogTalkRadio.com/How Was Your Weekend. Phone number tonight, ladies and gentlemen, 646-727-3279. Hello and welcome to our audience tonight. I want to say for those of you who have heard the show before and to those of you who are listening for the very first time, my name is Andy Brown, and I live vicariously through you. I want to thank you for chiming in with us. Thank you for blogging with us. We are broadcasting live here at the Dallas-Fort Worth area tonight in Plano, Texas. Each and every Wednesday night, ladies and gentlemen, we come on live, and we talk to you, we listen to you, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time, and because of you, the callers, the bloggers, the listeners, our show gets better each week, and as you all know, tonight will be no different. It's Wednesday, June 28th, 2010. We are here again, and it is going to be another fantastic episode. I just want to just encourage you all to have your ears ready, have your mind set, and adjust your attitude if you need to early, because we're going to get loose. Tonight's topic, we're going to continue in the month of July because it's been so heavily upon marriage. Last week was an outstanding program. We spoke heavily on the topic of closed legs don't get wed. And we just reiterated some of the things that are just natural about marriage. You know, are you going to marry someone without having sex with them first? It's a reality that most of us tend to ignore. And you may just tend to move and flow in the direction of, well, maybe I don't need to do that. Maybe it's okay. But tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about, now that you've entered matrimony, you know, things may not have gone the way you thought they were going to go. She used to be fine. He used to be her boo. You've been loved up. You've been shacking. You've been kicking it. But all of a sudden, things changed. This ain't the person I was really thought I was connecting to. Well, maybe my mama was right. Maybe my daddy had a point. Maybe my friend saw something that I just couldn't see. So it's easier to just throw in the towel and say, uh-uh. Divorce. I said I do, but I didn't mean it. I really didn't want to be with you in the first place. I mean, you gave your money, your time, your home, and your efforts to this one person, and now you can't stand them. We're supposed to enter this covenant of relation, of marriage, of bliss, of happiness, till death do us part, in sickness and in health. But as soon as an issue, not an issue, an issue comes up, It's time for some of us to go. They don't want to be a part of it. So why did you get married in the first place? Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about that tonight. For those of you who need to unwind right now, pour yourself a good drink or whatever it might be, whether it's your water, whether it's your Kool-Aid, whether and some of us still drink Kool-Aid, whether it's your cranberry juice, whether it's your Hennessy, I don't care. But you need to be comfortable enough to open up and listen to what's in store tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, our special guest will be joining us here. For those of you who don't know this gentleman, he and I have had the pleasure to speak and talk in depth about what our subject is tonight, and this is an outstanding gentleman. I'm glad he is privileged to join us here tonight, and I'm excited about tonight's show. Dr. Breakthrough himself, you can see his link on the page at blogtalkradio.com/HowWasYourWeekend. Click on Dr. Stan Breakthrough Harris. And Dr. Harris will be joining us here very shortly. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm excited about tonight's topic. I'm excited about tonight's show. And we're going to go ahead and get Dr. Breakthrough on the line with us right now so we can go ahead and begin our conversation. Dr. Breakthrough, are you there?
Hey, I'm here, man. I apologize. I'm here. Just got that speaking to a group. Ran out real quick to jump on and be on this exciting call with you and with your guest, my lovely sweet brown sugar Nadia, should be on with us. So it's a privilege and a pleasure, a treat and a treasure, a joy beyond measure to be on this call with you today.
That's what I'm talking about, man. It's also very good to talk with you and have you join in the discussion tonight. Our topic here on the blog, on the online happy hour, is divorce. I said I do, but I didn't mean it. Now, we have people who are entering, as they say, holy matrimony, that they want to just become one with the other, and all of a sudden, for some odd reason, for less than 2, maybe 3 years down the road, it's over. The relationship is done. We can't quite understand what's the purpose. If you said till death do us part, what you should have said was until they start tripping. Now, that's what I don't seem to understand, Doc, is it seems nowadays that we've made it so easy for people to just get in relationship, get married, you know, have the big overpriced wedding, look good, take these pictures, invite all of our friends down for that one good weekend. But as soon as things get a little rough, as soon as, you know, mother-in-law kind of turned that eyebrow up, we maybe start to question our own judgment. I know you can relate to something I'm saying right now, Doc. You've seen it. Have you ever been in a position where you maybe counseled someone on this?
Yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. I've definitely done that. And, again, one of the problems, though, is simply because we're living in a world that really doesn't understand commitment. And it's like what you're saying. And so my wife and I, by the way, we say we are a covenant couple building covenant relationships based on the covenant of promise, and that covenant, that's a blood covenant. We're literally, that's a till death do us part. And literally in the Bible, when a covenant was made, it was like, may I die if I break this covenant. And so people don't really have that seriousness today. There's this convenience factor. And so, yes, you're right. We've got to make that commitment. And sometimes a person has to recommit. But people ask me all the time, for instance, how did you become a 10th degree black belt? I mean, out of 6.5 billion people in the world, there's only 100, less than 100 that have made it. Well, that's called a great and serious commitment in spite of pain. And what you're talking about tonight is many people aren't willing to go through the pain and make that commitment. And sometimes, like I said, when we make that commitment, we may second-guess ourselves. And I've been there, by the way, where, you know, people think that, well, you know, you'll never doubt. You know, if you're going to be really successful, you never have any doubt. No. All powerful people have doubt. They just learn to do something with their doubt, and that is they doubt their doubt and they believe their beliefs. But unsuccessful people start doubting. Get this now. They start believing their doubts, and then they start doubting their beliefs, and then commitment goes out the window.
I believe that. I believe that thoroughly. And I also believe that some of us just don't want to commit. They don't want to commit. They don't want to make that commitment, and they don't want to tell themselves that, you know, maybe it's just for show. Maybe that what I'm doing is just going to look good on the surface because I may be in a financial situation. I may be in a situation where it needs me to warrant being with somebody else. and it's better if I get married. Or I may have been duped into that relationship because there's a kid on the way, and we don't want this baby to be born out of wedlock. Or maybe I lost my job and I just need somebody to just stand beside me through all the thick and thin. What do you think about that?
Well, again, I think there's some people, as you mentioned, that did do some of those things. And by the way, I think there's some nobility to some of that. You know, if a couple gets together, and, you know, and obviously the Bible teaches against, you know, fornication, sex before marriage. But let's say that happens, and like I said, the woman gets pregnant, and the guy says, okay, man, I've got a responsibility here. I need to get married. But the thing is, like you mentioned, they have to take in consideration the full commitment and really mean it. And you know, oftentimes, here's what happens. In the beginning, it's okay, because in the beginning, there's the excitement and the newness, but after a while, the newness wears off. And that's not just marriage. That's life in general. That's a new job. That's everything. So what I tell people is this. As one of the poets said, that when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, and the road to trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, if care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but please don't quit. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tin of the cords of doubt, and you never can tell how close you are. Victory may be near, though it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things go wrong that you just mustn't quit. And you know, it's like Rocky said to his son, to be a champion, it doesn't matter how hard you can hit, but rather how hard you can get hit, go down, and get back up. And so for whatever reason a person gets married, once you join the bounds of holy matrimony, you've got to make that commitment. You've got to now make it right. And as Calvin Coolidge, one of our presidents, I believe he said it best. I'll turn it back to you. He said this. He said, nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are almost omnipotent. So we just have to keep on keeping on.
Indeed. Indeed. I would agree with that. I mean, we've got, I'm going to bring it back to what you said earlier. There's a lot of quitters out there. They just want to say, F it, man. She tripping. I can't take it no more. I never did really want to marry her in the first place. Or he ain't nothing like my daddy. And if he ain't can't be like my daddy was the realest man I ever met. And even though that man could have been, you know, the biggest wino from who knows where, he wasn't like daddy, so he just don't fit in. That's crazy. I'm with you on that. So, I mean, what we're tending to realize, man, is it's a pattern, and not just a color issue, because there are some Anglos, some Mexicans, some Asians. I mean, your race, your nationality, you may not see it as often, but it happens. It's a reality. blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend was with a Z. The phone lines are blowing up right now. The chat room is getting lit up, and Dr. Breakthrough, I'm going to let you know here on the happy hour, our callers are some of the realest people you've ever met. Our bloggers say what's on their mind. It's Wednesday. It's the middle of the week. They haven't had a chance to vent. They haven't had a chance to let loose because that weekend is a little bit too far away. And they just are on the tail end of that good word that they got on Sunday. So I hope you're sitting down. I hope you're relaxed, because we're about to go to the phone lines, if you don't mind, and just let some of our callers maybe chime in on what we're talking about. You okay with that? Hello? Hello? Let's go to the phone lines. We have a caller calling out of Atlanta, Georgia. Caller, are you there? A caller from Atlanta, Georgia. Caller, are you there? It's okay. You don't have to be shy. I know we're kind of overwhelming you right now. Dr. Breakthrough was speaking some real knowledge right now. But if you'd rather not speak, it's okay. Maybe we can get somebody else in that wants to chime in and speak to the good doctor and myself. Let's keep it right here in Dallas, Texas. Clayton Baker, caller, are you
there? Yes, I'm good. How are you?
We good, Doc.
Well, you know, I've been hearing everything that everybody was saying and what the good doctor was saying as well. But I also think that, you know, here's something that, you know, no one really touched upon is that, I mean, we touched on it a little bit, but not a lot about, you know, when the doctor said that people today don't really know what commitment really truly is. Well, my question is, why do we not know what the commitment it really is? Is it because of the people that were supposed to have been teaching our generation really didn't do a good job of teaching our kids of this generation what commitment is, and it's just been a spiral effect? Because I know that when I was growing up, you know, and I'm only 35, I know when I was growing up, you know, there was always a man in a house. But at some point in time, that totally changed to where the man was no longer in the house, and he made every excuse underneath the sun of why he's no longer with the mother. So is it a case of a man is no longer willing to accept his role, and that's why when people get married and they say, well, maybe I really didn't want to get married, is that could that be a reason why they question it now?
Well, I would say a couple things. Now, I'm 49 years of age, and I want to say I grew up in a single-parent home. And now, everybody didn't grow up like I grew up, but I grew up in a hood, and where I lived, there were no dads around. And that was one of the things that, and see, here's what we got to understand. We're not born winners. We're not born losers. We're born choosers, so we can choose to win if we want to. So because of the fact I didn't have a father in the home, I said, I want to make an extra strong commitment so I can be there. I want to be the dad that I never had. Now, again, it's all based on our attitude because, you know, I had some brothers that didn't make that same decision. So, again, but we have to understand it's individual responsibility. But, yes, it's a whole lot easier when we do have good role models. It's a whole lot easier when we do have people teaching on commitment. And, yes, you're right. Society as a whole is losing that whole commitment model. We're more into convenience now. We're more into the microwave, have it quick, no commitment thing. So, yes, it will help if we have people teaching that, but also people have to understand individual responsibility. Now, in my book, I talk about the word responsibility. When you break it down, it means respond with ability. So, yeah, when I was younger, I was subject to what everybody else was telling me. But when I get older, when I became a man, now I can make a choice. And by the way, it's not just men that are not in the home. There's a lot of women who are lacking on their commitment as well. There's a lot of women who are leaving the home. There's a lot of women that are skipping out. So it's not just a male thing anymore. Now it's both parties because, again, a lot of different things in our society have broken down. They've broken down values, and values aren't being taught and upheld. And it's like anything goes. And that's why we've got to have people calling us back to the standard. We've got to have people that will help and empower and encourage. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense. But at the same time, though, when you were saying that you didn't think that women were leaving the house as much as men were, but you also got to understand the man sets the tone. The man sets everything. If anything goes back to anything, it has to be because the lines have gotten blurred so much. Because the man is not in the house any longer, that the woman is taking on the same role as a man now. And say, well, if a man can do it, I can do it. Because guess why? Because the man is the one that started doing this from the beginning. He's the one that walked away. He's the one that said that, you know what, I thought I loved you. I thought I really wanted to be with you. But times have changed. You don't look the same. You don't treat me the same. Our money's not the same. There's a lot of other factors that then started to make a play in what kind of relationship that you really truly have. And plus, here's another thing that y'all got to keep in mind. You know, I've been with the same woman now for 15 years, and we've been married for 10 plus out of that 15. But the thing I'm trying to say is, with us, divorce has just never been an option.
Come on now, that's good. That's
you know,
good.
With us, no matter what we go through, we always say at the end of the day, all long as we're together and we're working things out, that's all that really matters. But see, everybody has taken on such an individualistic mindset into their relationships that when you keep using the term I, and this is what
right.
I want, this is what I feel like doing, and you never say we, you never say us, then when you start bringing individual goals into a team, and the team is the marriage, that's why you fail. It has nothing to do with commitment. It has everything to do with the goals that you had set forth from the beginning. This is how I want my marriage to go, instead of what do you think is best for our marriage to happen.
Right. Man, that's
okay.
So good. As a matter of fact, you know, can I give you my acronym for family that'll change, really help us? And I applaud you, my brother. Thank God for men like you. But family, my acronym, FAMILY, stands for Forget About Me, I Love You. See, if the husband would say, forget about me, I love you, and if the wife would say, forget about me, I love you, and the children would say, forget about me, I love you, then as you were talking about, when we have that we factor instead of that I factor, which again, I talk in my book about the word ego, stands for edging God out. And when we edge God out and we want to be the center instead of letting God be the center, and when God's the center of the home and we each are trying to get closer to God, we each are getting closer to each other all at the same time. But yes, my brother, you're bringing up some great points. And again, I believe people need to be empowered. They need to hear powerful testimonies because, again, the home is under attack. And individuals, like you said, everybody's being taught to do their own thing instead of we need to do our thing, team, together, each accomplishes more. And one of the things that helped me in my marriage, by the way, is a prayer where I learn every day to pray, dear God, love my wife Nadia through me. And Lord, please love me through Nadia. but Lord, love Nadia through me. And I think if we had husbands praying that prayer every day, wives praying that prayer, you know, Lord, love my husband through me, I think, again, we would understand and get back to some values. But we've got to have good testimonies like you, my brother, getting on shows like this and letting people know that, you know, like you said, you and your wife have been through some things, but you know what? You kept going, which, by the way, I tell couples, if you feel like you're going through hell, don't stop. You got to keep on going and just keep on keeping on.
Dr. Breakthrough, that's outstanding. I mean, that's real. That's real. Like I told you, we got real people that call in. You're going to hear from some positive men, and you're going to hear from some women. So I know we've had some ladies who've been waiting very patiently. Like I told you before, we have callers all over the nation. You know, we're here in Texas, and we're going to move to the East Coast because they've been listening a little bit earlier than we have. Callers out of the Baltimore area. Nika's on the line, and I know she wants to say something. She's outstanding. Nika, are you there?
I am here.
Hey, welcome. By the way, I was born in the Baltimore area, under Anne Arundel County, Maryland.
Oh, so wow. Okay.
Nika, we have Dr. Stan Breakthrough Harris with us tonight, a fantastic man, as you can hear, who is speaking real with us tonight about divorce. I said I do, but I didn't mean it. I know you've been listening to us. Do you have any questions for the good doctor or myself, or just want to make a point tonight?
You know what? It's so funny because I'm listening, and everything that I would say or my statements and comments were answered or either said. But I do kind of have a statement and question at the same time. My thing is this, you know, I'm hearing you guys speak from a male perspective, and from a woman's perspective, we kind of talked about, you know, the closed legs don't get wet last week. And my thing is, I don't think we take it as seriously as we, you know, marriage relationships like as we did back in the day, like when my mom was young. And it's kind of like that whole thing about me saying you need to take your time, get to know that person, but not only getting to know them, but getting to know you and knowing what you would like your future to look like and making sure, like you guys mentioned, that person fits in with what you have in your future and you guys become a unit, a one. And a lot of us, you know, like the gentleman was saying, it is individualized. A lot of us don't think that far. And then he also mentioned how, like, the roles were blurred. And I so agree with that. It's just kind of like, I'm a single parent. You know, I raised my child without her father. It's pretty much me. And it's like, I have this role of being both parents, but I don't want it. You know what I'm saying? I would want to marry a mate who would take that role. And it's like, how, you know, like the question would be, how do you know your role? Like, fortunate for me, I happen to hear a sermon, and it was called Know Your Role, and it broke down the role of a woman traditionally and the role of a man. But if I didn't see it or hear that, I wouldn't have known. It reiterated for me what traditionally it is set out to be. But nowadays you have so much stuff going on, so many things that, you know, counteract against what you, you know, your original principles. It's like, how do you get that? You know, like, where do we get this knowledge? Like, as a woman, how do I know what my role is as a wife?
Wow, that's powerful. By the way, baby girl, are you on the line? Nadia, my sweet brown cinnamon sugar, are you on the line? Do you want to say something?
We can get her on the line. Let's go ahead and bring her in. We'll just go ahead and need her to press option one to go ahead and speak so we can go ahead and get her involved. And I see now that she's done that. Let's go ahead and bring her on and let her speak.
Yeah, let's get a female perspective on this. Baby girl, what you got to say?
Hi, how are you all?
Excellent.
Very good.
I'm doing even better now that I hear your voice. I'm doing even better. Come on now.
Right, I was listening to the young lady who mentioned how you know your role as a wife. And one of the things that I guess I can speak on is growing up in church, I watched a lot of the women and how they assisted their husbands. And then understanding that my role is basically a helper. So I'm here to assist and to help my husband. And I think a lot of times we tend to make it a lot more difficult than it really is. If he is in the right place and he's submitted to God, then it makes it really easy for us to submit to him. And so, and when I mean him, my husband. And so basically what I do in terms of my role and responsibility, I assist my husband. My husband is my first ministry, so I take care of him, and in taking care of him, you know, you find your role. I take care of a lot of things, but the big picture is basically assisting us.
Well, baby, I want you to know you my first ministry too now. Don't forget about that.
Okay. This is an outstanding show tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
can I say one other thing? It is so important for women to surround themselves with other positive women. If you're married, get with some other strong women that's married. Get involved in marriage ministry so that you can learn some tools and techniques to help your husband and to help, you know, your marriage stay strong. But another thing is just to get around some very positive, married, strong women if you're married. Even if you're not married, you can still be around positive, strong women and women that love their husband. They love their children. You know, just being in a nice, strong environment is really good.
Well, if I can mention one other thing too, you know, young lady said that she was a single parent mother. I was raised by a single parent mother, and one of the things that I just want to say was, I learned so much from my mom. But one of the things that really transformed me was the fact. It was quite amazing because, you know, my dad left when I was three. You know, and my brother Ronald was two, Lonnie was one, so we were like stair steps. And all those years growing up, he never came by, never called, never sent mom any money. And the fact that she never opened up her mouth as far as like lambasting him and talk about how this man is no good, he hadn't this and he hadn't that. And I think, you know, that was very noble on her part, and maybe every woman, you know, can't do that, but I'm saying it really helped me, though, to not have this negative, although, like I said, he wasn't there, he didn't take care of his responsibility, and I think that helped me just to focus on, I want to really make sure I'm the man that I need to be, I'm going to be the dad that I never had, and, you know, one of the things that really is endeared to my heart is the fact that my mother, like you said, she had to be the mother and, like, the father, I think she did a great job. But, you know, again, sometimes you don't see that going through, but as you get a little older, you get a little wiser, and you start seeing those things. So I really want to encourage all the single women out there that, you know, what you're doing is so powerful. And also the single dads, because there's a lot of single dads today as well. You know, what you do is so powerful, and I think it's so important also that you do your best to make sure you have forgiveness in your heart for that person, even if they didn't ask. And you just concentrate on raising those children as opposed to trying to get your licks in against how what they were, what they didn't do, and all that. Would you agree with
that? You know what? You're absolutely right, because what happens nine times out of ten is that pain and that people just sometimes can't let go of causes you to lash out on that other person, because from the reality of it, there was a miscommunication somewhere.
Right.
You didn't get the full perspective maybe of that person or the situation. Taking, for example, the relationship may seem to go good on one person's end, but from the other person's perspective, they may be driving them crazy. They may be totally ignoring them. But since they don't communicate, all of a sudden, divorce is warranted. I said I do, but I didn't mean it, because I didn't mean to get in a relationship with this person who don't talk to me. Or I didn't mean to get involved with this person who just really doesn't appreciate my mind but enjoys being inside of my body. Ooh. And I really didn't mean to get connected to this fool who just spends all my money. She drives my car, won't put no gas in it. She don't know how to talk to my kids because they ain't her kids. And she don't want to spend no time and no effort teaching this little boy how to read because they didn't come from their womb. It's crazy. You're absolutely right. You know, I want to keep the phone lines going because I don't know if you know this or not, but they're blowing us up. They want to come to schools from all over the country. So let's keep the party going, Doc. We've heard from Baltimore. We've heard from Dallas. Let's take it to the Midwest and bring in the good man, Dr. E. Dub Wilson, who I know has been patiently waiting. And, Doc, you are in for a treat. E. Dub, are you there?
I am here. How's everybody doing tonight? Can you hear me?
Blessed and highly favored. Yes, welcome to the welcome.
Well, I've been listening to everything or whatever. Now, Doc, it real sounds good. It sounds good. I call it the Beaver Cleaver moment. All that sounds good, but we have to be realistic with ourselves and what's going on in society today. I don't believe, me personally, that a lot of them are giving up. I think a lot of them have just taken, it has went so far of not being repairable that it's just best on both parts to let go. Because you can be in an unhealthy relationship. And why keep yourself miserable? Because when you're miserable and you're a good person, everybody else around you are miserable also. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people live through each other. Whether you realize it or not, or whether you know that they are, a lot of people are living, like some people are living through you that you may not even know. So they wanna mark your style, they wanna mark your ways of doing things. So therefore, a lot of times it's just best to let go. Now, it's just kinda like a college education to me. You might have thought you was good in math, but you better in biology. So you change your major. You see what I'm saying? So therefore, you went, you tried, you prayed on it, you did everything you could to make it work, but it doesn't work. So how long do you have to stay in there beating yourself up against this rock that will not move, that will not even try to do anything? You see what I'm saying? There's no possible way that you can expect a human being to stay involved with that person.
Right. Well, obviously, we're not advocating, I mean, you know, in the case of, you know, physical abuse, you know, for a woman just to stay in there or even, you know.
No, I'm not saying no physical abuse. I'm just saying,
here's what you got to understand. Right. You see, my book, Your Breakthrough is Guaranteed, I give a 7-step breakthrough system. But here's one of the things you got to understand. Let me give you this quote, if you don't mind. It goes like this. When I make up my mind to do something, circumstances align themselves in my favor. When I say I can't, my mind stops trying. But when I ask how can I, my mind keeps searching until it finds a way. There is a way, and I will find it. And if not, I will invent it. So one of the things we're talking about is just to make sure that we have that kind of resolve, see, what starts to happen, and I understand what you're saying, my brother, sometimes, like I said, in that relationship, things start going cattywampus, but what happens, we start focusing on what this person's not doing or what this person's doing that's agitating us, and the more we focus on that, see, what you focus on the longest becomes the strongest, what you talk about the longest becomes the strongest, and like I talk about in my book, the main reason people don't have a breakthrough is because they keep focusing on trying to break through. You don't have a breakthrough by trying to break through. You have a breakthrough by focusing on what you want to break to. So what you have to do in this powerful documentary, The Secret, that came out, it shows that successful people, they don't look at things as they are. They only focus on the things that they want. And the same thing has to happen when we've seen mates totally transformed when that other mate, instead of focusing on, oh, he's no good, he's not doing this anymore, he's not doing that, or she's not doing this anymore, she's not that. When you start focusing on seeing them in the light of the way you want them to be, and literally that helps to give power and to give vent to that, to where they help that to change. Now, what I'm saying again, yeah, there may be times when, yeah, it's irreparable, but oftentimes that's a cop-out. Oftentimes, because we focus on the bad gets worse, and now it becomes in our eyes like, oh, my goodness, I can't put up with this anymore. This is impossible. I'm hurting myself. I'm limiting myself. And so, yes, I understand what you're saying, but again, through counseling and through help, a lot of that could be helped and changed. And let me just give you this ideal. I'm here, I went to college 12 years to become a professional. I went to college 12 long years. And yet when people want to get married, many of them never read one book. They never go for premarital counseling. And then what happens, because we think we're grown, and so now a lot of things that could have been avoided aren't avoided, and things that could have been tackled before the relationship got to that place, now that is not. And so it doesn't have the time to get cemented, to get hardened, to where they're really focused on staying together. So, again, just please hear me. I mean, I really do understand. I appreciate your honesty, because you're right. There's times when it's like that. But I'm telling you, though, people can change. And I tell people it takes one person, one decision, and one action to change your life forever. You're that person. It's your decision and your action. And we can, what we focus on the longest becomes the strongest.
Well, I understand what you're saying also, but I don't also, I just feel that, you know what I'm saying, and so much of what I got out of that, basically you start lying to them. You feed them a lie, because you're not going to be, you can't be yourself. Now, I understand, I'm not saying focus on the bad things, okay? So I seen a movie the other day that really helped me understand about the marriage, and it was called Fireproof. I don't know if you all have seen that movie Fireproof.
Everybody needs to see that.
That movie there really helped me to understand some things or whatever. But the thing of it is, I'm not saying that I'm dwelling on what someone's not doing or what someone's doing. But as a man, I feel if I'm the head of the house and I'm doing things right, when we're going to church, we doing everything right, and I feel my wife is to assist me, and there's no assisting going there. You know, it's more her attention is more focused in other areas or whatever. It's only so long as a human being is myself, it praying and staying in that situation is gonna do. You know, and doing what you said. You know, it's only so much that a human being can also take. Now, true or not, I have to take responsibility of it by making that bad choice. I have to take some responsibility in that bad choice because I am half of it. But at the same time, I also have to be a man and say, okay, I made a bad choice. Now, what do I do? You know what I'm saying? I pray on it or whatever. I wait on the answer, you know, to what I need to do. And a lot of, you know, I've only been married just now once, because I always had that idea. I'm only going to get married one time. This is my first and this is my last. So if I make this work, I don't have to worry about being my last. You see what I'm saying? And I waited to the age that I was old enough
to be able to accept the fact of the commitment and to be married. You know, so I've only been married 1 year. I got a long way to go. But at the same time, I put in my mind, this is my first marriage and this is my last. Everybody in my family has been married over one time. I'm not trying to go there.
Right. Well, congratulations on the year, and congratulations also on that mindset, because that's the thing that's going to help make the difference. And you do know the power of our words. You know, oftentimes my wife, I mean, she is so helpful to me, because sometimes she'll say to me, baby, we don't want to speak that into the atmosphere. Now, what is she talking about? You know, I was reading today in the scripture, Isaiah 59:17, God says, I create the fruit of the lips. So when we say, I can't stand you, you're getting on my nerves. When we start saying these things like this, God says, I create the fruit of the lips. Proverbs 18:21, there's death and life in the power of the tongue. So with our tongue, we can create life, or we can create death. And so sometimes we speak death into a relationship because it looks like it's starting to die, when in essence, we need to speak life into something, even though it seems like it's dying. And again, I'm telling you, if we speak that long enough, we can bring it into existence. Job 22:28, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. So when we keep decreeing what we want, and we keep agreeing with God in spite of what it seems like, in spite of our circumstances. I mean, Romans 4:18, it says, who against hope believed in hope. In other words, humanly speaking, where there was no hope, Abraham still believed God when God said, you're going to have this son, although Sarah's beyond bearing age, you're beyond that time. It says, who against hope believed in hope. When we start having couples who say, it seems like, humanly speaking, there's no hope for our marriage, there's no hope for this relationship, but we made a commitment. I said, for better or for worse. And some people, they ought to be honest and say, I meant for better, I didn't mean for worse. We said for richer, right, for poor. We meant for richer, but we didn't mean for poor. We said in sickness and health. Lord, I meant that health part, but I lied about that sickness part. Well, you know, God, I really didn't mean till death do us part. I meant till difficulty do us part. No, we got to change that and start speaking that. Lord, it's difficult now, but I believe you can change this thing, and I'm going to speak life into my wife. My wife, I want you to be able to speak life back into me. We'll go for counseling. We'll get some help for our home. I mean, all of us sometimes, we get to a place we need some outside, some reinforcement and some help to help that home. But when we understand the power of our lips, and before a relationship breaks up, you notice the way the man is speaking to the woman, the way the woman is speaking to the man. But before that happens, notice the thoughts that the man has, and notice the thoughts that the woman has. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let me give you this poem, and I'm going to shut up. If you think you are beaten, you are. And if you think you do not, you won't. If you'd like to win but think you can, it's almost a sense you won't. If you think you will lose, you've already lost. For this powerful truth we find, success begins with a person's will. It's all a state of mind. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger woman or man, but sooner or later, those who win are those who first think and then know that they can. And I'm here to let people know, I know you can by the grace of God.
You know, a hush fell over Jerusalem, and a hush just fell over the Blog Talk on the Happy Hour. For those of you all who are in awe right now and are just applauding, sweating, and panting, go to the show, blogtalkradio.com/ How Was Your Weekend? Click on the link for Dr. Stan Breakthrough Harris. I know you want to see who this man is. His information is there. If you're in the community, howwasyourweekend.com, take a look at his profile. The man is awesome, and you can hear that tonight. You can hear that in his words. Dr. Breakthrough, we're just going to keep the ball rolling tonight. We're talking about divorce. I said I do, but I didn't mean it, because some of us are still not getting it, and they may have a few more questions. We're going to go to Michigan, up in Detroit City, and have a caller chime in, if you don't mind.
I'd love to. Bring him on.
Are you there?
Come on.
Caller from Michigan, are you there?
And what I was saying is, you know, you Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Who is this?
Rhonda.
Rhonda, how you doing tonight?
I'm all right. How are you?
Doing good. Please say hello to Dr. Breakthrough.
Hello.
Hey. Hello, my sister.
Hello. How are you? I've been listening for a while, and a lot of the comments that you all are making, a lot of people are leaving out that this is a mind thing, and when you believe in who you're with, you can keep it going. A lot of people don't complain about happiness. It's quick to complain about the negativity and things going wrong, and a lot of times people are in pain, and when you're in pain, you hurt others. And even though you all are speaking from biblical points and religion, you have to first have an understanding for that, and most people don't. And if people did, and I guess you would agree that a lot of people don't, you wouldn't see out as an option. You would always be looking for the end result or for the light at the end of the tunnel.
Right. Well, you know, I like to say hurt people that haven't been healed tend to hurt people, but hurt people who have been healed now can help and empower people. So you're absolutely right. A lot of us have been hurt, gone through the hurt, but if we don't go through it, if we don't get healed, like you said, we end up hurting each other. The hurt keeps going back and forth and getting worse and festering and back and forth. And then someone, though, has to put a stop to that, and someone has to allow, you know, each party has to be healed, and then once we're healed, we can help. But, you know, I talk about in my book that pain, for instance, William Wadsworth said, pain and adversity causes some men and women to break. It causes others to break records. So here's
right.
what I've learned. Within my pain is hidden power, and hidden power can be used to harness. So there's people, because of the great pain they've gone through in their marriage, that caused them to be extra sweet to some people. Some people, because of the pain that they're going through, just like me as a six-year-old boy, I got tarred and feathered and beaten by a teenage gang. And because of that pain, I could either be broken and become a victim or become a victor. And so I allow that pain to push me to become a martial arts champion so I can learn to defend myself so that that would never happen again. And so, again, yes, as we're younger, some of these things we don't understand, but the older we get, especially when we get influence. And that's why I love shows like this where the truth is being taught, and people, we can challenge each other and we can encourage each other, you know, and we can give testimonies and examples to try to lift one another up. Because as one of my friends said, be good to everybody because everybody is having a tough time. And if we just encourage one another, we can see some things happen.
You're right about that. And I'm going to agree with you on them tough times because I know we've had a caller in California who's had a tough time getting on the phone. We're going to go ahead and bring them on the line, calling in Los Angeles, California. Dr. Breakthrough, we go all over the country. We're nationwide, and they are hearing you tonight. Los Angeles, Yusuf, are you there?
Hey, how you doing, man? Dr. Breakthrough, how you doing? Andy Brown, how you doing? Go Mob. Go
Mob.
For sure. You know what? I want to keep 100. I'm going to be real. Maybe nobody want to talk about it. But I got three words that I feel the divorce rate out here is going haywire. Finances, finances, and finances. And I want to see,
yeah.
Doctor, if you can talk about that because, you know, finances can bring out the ugly in somebody. You know what I'm saying? And, my finances is pretty good, but back in the day it was pretty bad. And I've been with the same girl for 14 years. And, we've been to the bad, the ugly, and good. And, but I really feel the finances is the most important part in a marriage because, once the finances go down, then everything else is a domino effect and everything starts breaking down. Now, you know, you broke now and you're overweight. You feel what I'm saying? And it seems like everything just started to come out. Doc, I want you to talk about the financial aspect of a relationship.
Well, you know, again, the divorce rate is getting so high, it's over 60%. Almost 70%, and again, 80. Get this now. Statistics show that 80% of the divorces has financial pressure at its foundation.
Right.
So that's one
right.
of the reasons why I teach people, by the way, how to become financially free. You know,
right.
I teach people how to become an entrepreneur. Which, by the way, you know, I got involved in a business, and within 5.5 months, I built a team of 22,000 people earning a six-figure income per month which, by the way, I used to be a college professor, and when a guy challenged me, said, you could start making more money in a month you were making an entire year, I was like, oh, my goodness, I like to do that. But you're right. You know, the regardless of how much love is there, when those finances are draining, man, that puts an extra strain on the marriage, and all of a sudden cracks that you didn't know were there start to come out. So I
right.
think that's why we also, and that's why I wrote in my book about breakthrough, your breakthrough is guaranteed. I teach people how to have a financial breakthrough, because the financial breakthrough oftentimes will help to ease a lot of the stress that's in the
right.
home. But you're exactly right, my brother. The,
yeah.
the home is under attack, the financial situation. And times like this, when the economic and economic time is down, that's why, again, I keep teaching the principle, my breakthrough principle. It's not, you can't focus on what you want to break through. By the way, let me help you with your finances, folks. If you say, I want to be debt-free, you're just going to be more in debt. You can't have a financial breakthrough by focusing on breaking through debt. You have a financial breakthrough by focusing on what you want to break to. And that is, you got to want to break to financial freedom. And when you break to financial freedom, you automatically break through debt. But as long as you focus on debt, it just seems to get worse and worse and worse,
right.
because what you focus on the longest becomes the strongest. So, my brother, you brought out a very powerful point.
Right.
And you're right. We didn't talk about that. The financial
yeah.
situation is really a real bedrock of problems. And that's
right.
why we have got to learn some financial principles. And that's why I teach people how to become financially free so you can ease up that marriage situation.
And, Doc, I wanted to add, and you know, I have a lot of friends out here, and it baffles me how you can spend $20,000 to $25,000 on a wedding,
mm.
and you staying home with your mama, or you're in the projects, or you're in a one-bedroom house, a one-bedroom apartment, and then you get a divorce a year later. I just don't understand how people make bad decisions like that. I mean, you know, I'm going to get married probably this year, most likely. I'm going to Vegas, drive-through, and we might have a little $2,000 reception. Because it's all about, in my mind, is the needs and the wants. What do you need and what do you want? And I just really feel that the finances is a real root of all people that are having these divorces and marriages and stuff like that. So I just wanted to bring that out and just keep it real, you know, one time about the finances, because everybody else talking about everything else, but them finances, that's where it starts at. That's where it starts from.
Oh, yes, sir. And by the way, in every home, here's what you got to understand. Opposites attract, but if you're not careful, opposites then start to attack. So in every home you have, for instance, one would be a saver, the other would be a spender. You know, one's
right.
going to be more public, the other's going to be more private. And what happens is, then the opposites, we in the beginning, we complement each other, but if we're not careful, then we start competing. And so when you got the saver and then you got the spender, and then if the saver, you know, they're wanting to save, the spenders want to spend, if you don't come to an agreement, that also causes problems, even if the finances are there. And so there has to be, like you said, there has to be this common ground. There has to be good communication. But again, we keep going back to the same words. There has to be a commitment. And then as the sun rises in the east, sets in the west, the Pope's a Catholic, and I ain't going nowhere. We're going to make this thing work, baby girl. We're going to make it work, honey poo. We're going to do this thing. And so, again, everybody that's listening, we have to seek and get some outside help. I keep saying this. How is it that we go through all this counseling, all this, you know, in our schooling, but when it comes to the home, very few people get premarital counseling. And by the way, you brought up another good point. We sometimes we're more interested in the wedding than we are the marriage. So we're spending all this money on the wedding without making more of an investment in the marriage. And I'm not trying to downplay the wedding because, again, the woman deserves that, especially if that's what she wants. But she also has to understand if that has to be put on hold for a while you're building this marriage, because you can always have a ceremony, a big elaborate ceremony later on. The main thing
right.
is we have got to be in sync. We have got to have come to an understanding, and we have got to make sure that we are in this thing for the long haul. And one of the things, like my wife brought out, that's so beautiful to have role models that can help us. Can I give you a quick poem real quick? Do you mind if I do that? Can I give you something?
Please, please.
Absolutely. Because, see, we got to learn to teach by example. And somebody said, I'd rather see a lesson, than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely point the way. The eye is a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Find counsel is confusing, but example is always clear. And the best of all the teachers are the ones who live their creed, for to see the good in action is what everybody needs. For I may misunderstand you in the good advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. And so we have to be people who are teachers who don't just teach with our talk, but more importantly, we teach with our lifestyle, because often I say in my book, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks, and your walk talks so loud, I can't hear a word you say.
Wow. Great, great.
That's powerful, man. That's powerful. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, he's referencing his works. He's referencing his literature. Please support this man. I mean, he's speaking and he's teaching us tonight. And it would only be wrong of us not to get this and tap somebody across the shoulder and say, listen to what Dr. Breakthrough has to say. We're talking tonight about divorce. Said I do. Didn't mean it. He's letting us know why. I mean, here are the pros and the cons. Some people are getting married just for the wedding. Some people are getting married just for the stuff. The communication is bad. The sex might be good. You may have just wanted to connect for the physical attributes. Or maybe you just got connected because your money wasn't right and theirs were. You saw that as, I'm investing in my future because they got it going on. And that's all the wrong things to do. I mean, no one is guilty. I mean, we can all point the finger at other people in other situations. But when it really comes back, what we're doing tonight is communicating. That's what it all boils down to. And Dr. Breakthrough, if you don't mind, let's go ahead and keep the communication lines open. Bring it on back to Dallas. We've been to Detroit. We've been to Baltimore. We've been to Kansas City. We've been to California. We have Big Ray on the line here in Dallas, Texas. Ray, are you there?
Yes, sir. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I've been listening to everybody's perspective. I got a perspective of my own. Most relationships or marriages or dissolve from lack of communication and false expectations. Well, a lot of people don't realize you got about three parts to a relationship. You got the physical, the financial, and communication. Now, me as a witness, I can tell you that financial and communication can change at the drop of a hat, but the communication has to be there. Also, when it comes to the false expectations, you know, a lot of people go into a relationship, don't set their agenda or let people know what they're looking for. They come in playing
come
like
on.
They're looking for one thing and looking for another. And thing is, they have a term in the Bible what they call unequally yoked. Whatever you're looking
right.
for in a mate, you ought to be bringing that to the table. And that's why a lot of people are having confusion in their relationships. Another thing, you know, is you got to be more of a team-like type setting. You know what I'm saying? You got to know your role on the team. Man have a role, woman have a role. As far as the pain, it's a man's job to make his woman's job that much easier. You know, your woman might play tight end or wide receiver. You know, she's not made to go full four quarters in the trenches. Sometimes she might put on that other hat when things go awry or a man get laid off to pick up the slack because, you know, woman's supposed to be there to help me. But, you know, she's going to help for so long. You know, man need to help shoulder the load. Everybody needs to know their role on the team, you know. Just like you take a man, put him out there wide receiver, and he built more like a lineman. He might not be able to get open on them posts and them fly routes, you know, like somebody's skill position. You know, he wasn't designed like that. Everybody was designed for a certain purpose. And then, you know, as far as in relationships, I treat it kind of like sports. Sometimes you got to scrimmage and game test them so you know what you're working with in a game-like situation. Everybody look good with the uniform on when they put it on pretty, but when you get in the heat of that battle, how they going to react? How are they going to perform? Next. Before you can please anybody else, you got to be able to please God and please yourself. Most people need to do a check in the mirror. They need to check the inner man. You know, they need to check self. Before they start pointing at the mate about what the mate not doing, are you doing what you can do to keep your mate satisfied? Are you doing what you can do to keep yours a happy home? Are you being the best that you can be without joining the army? You know, you have to check yourself. You have to do a check, self-check. Also, you know, you got to look at the small things because the little things that count. Do you keep your mate motivated and inspired? Do you give them encouragement? Do you give them upliftment? Can they share their goals and dreams with you? Are you trustworthy?
Come on. That's good.
You know, and far as, you know, I heard somebody tell me, what do you find out? Well, a lot of people don't know because they haven't been taught. How can they know except they've been taught? But for men, you know, you read the book of Timothy. For women, you can read the book of Esther. You know, I always tell kids because I mentor a lot of kids, whatever you want to do in life, whatever you want to be in life, whatever you want to get in life, they got a book on it. Go get it. You know, a lot of people don't read. They don't ask questions. They say readers are leaders. But like man said earlier, when it comes to their relationships, they won't study. Even in sports, you got to study your plays. You got to know the offense, defenses, the schemes. You got to know the strategy. And one thing I learned about humans, we as humans are creatures of habit. And when put in pressure situations, we tend to revert back to old habits. You know, and
now, what does that mean exactly, right? What does that mean by exactly when you revert back to old habits? Is that old habit that person, or is that old habit that certain thing that you've done prior to being in that relationship? What I mean, kind of elaborate on what you mean by that, if you don't mind.
Okay, old habits can be a combination of things. Everybody brought up in different households, different morals, values, scruples, etc. Okay, you know, in common vernacular, sometimes they tell you don't try to turn a trick into a treat. On the other hand, you know, sometimes people coming from single family households might have different morals and values and outlooks and perspectives on things versus somebody coming from a two-parent household. As one of my old pastors told me, he said, if you meet a young lady and you think you're interested, what you need to do, you need to go home with her, meet her parent, mother and father, see how they run their household and see how she grew up. Then you need to take her home with you so she can say see the same thing. Me personally, I wouldn't take certain type of people to the house because if I knew my parents wouldn't approve. Then again, my mindset, if I knew my parents didn't approve of you, I don't need to be hanging out with you. Even though I'm a grown man, I still respect my parents. I respect their train of thought. And, you know, my parents know that their opinion matters to me. Also, I tell people, you take me to your house or your parents don't like me, let me know. I ain't going to waste your time. I ain't going to cause no confusion in your household. A lot of people going into these things based off of feelings. You know, sometimes you got to use thought, logic, and also, like I said, you got to game test them. Also, you know, you got to look at buying signs, you know. Hey, you got to check a person's motive. Why is this person interested in me? You got to ask them who sent you. Why are you
now,
here?
You brought up something, Ray, just now that we talked about, we kind of touched on earlier in the show. Sometimes people will tend to be in their covenant relationship, and because that mama, because that daddy doesn't like that person, that can sometimes cause a rift in the other relationship. Some often, now I'm not just saying that in every relationship, but, you know, we kind of tend to notice there are some patterns that when people actually let their parents into their marriage, and mom and daddy may not either have their thing going on like these young folks do, or they may not disapprove of the new generational ways of how this family is establishing themselves. They just don't need to know or may not know. But, you know, one of those major elements is if you're not okay with mom and dad, is that really going distort or change the relationship that you have with your significant other?
Hey, it's going to be a direct correlation between the two. And if you're not okay with mom and daddy, then, you know, their opinion might not count. I'm all right with my mother and father. And the thing is, one thing about parents, the majority of parents want what's best for you, and a lot of them know you better than you know yourself. And they can see stuff coming a mile away because they done been down that road before. A lot of kids don't want to admit it, but a lot of times your parents know you. Just because they don't say nothing don't mean they don't know nothing. You know, they just sit back and observe, but they know their child, and they want what's best for them. Your parent not going to tell you to do something that's going to hurt you or hinder you, not intentionally.
Okay. Dr. Breakthrough, you have a comment because I want to get Miss Nika back on the line. She wanted to address something to us. Anything that you wanted to say to Ray and to our audience before we bring her back?
Well, Ray brought out some very great points and principles. Appreciate you, Ray, sharing your opinions and coming on the call. And again, I think it's great when people can, you know, the Bible teaches, you know, valuing the and honoring the parents. And so forth. And again, those who are a little older and have gone before us, because oftentimes, you know, they've been through some things, and that's another thing. A lot of people, against the better wishes of their parents, you know, those are another time situations when things can come up. And so, but again, once that union is made, though, God teaches in of one flesh, so that then there needs to be a cutting away a little bit and the two becoming one, so that's something that oftentimes causes problems as well. Because usually in marriage, it's usually there's the sex problems, in-law problems, children problems, or financial. One of those four things that really hit home. So, but thank you, Ray, for sharing your opinion, man, and thanks for coming on the show.
Okay. Nico, are you back on the line now with us?
I am here.
Okay.
You know, what I wanted to touch on is kind of funny. It's like we talked a lot about being married and how to maintain it and also the roles, but I think we really missed the actual, you know, topic of the show, and that is I said I do, but I didn't mean it. And I mean cases like you mentioned earlier, Andy, where people got married because they had a child, but not even that. How about, especially now, I think Dr. Breakthrough mentioned it earlier, where it's that microwave era, or what I call the bling era, where we want it fast, we want it quick, we want it big, we want it this. There are people who actually get married just for the sake of being married, not really wanting to be married to that person, but they just want to be married because for whatever reason they feel like being married is this or being married is that. And then they end up marrying someone that they not only not want to be married to, don't even really care for. And later on down the line where, you know, kids are involved and other situations, family members are involved because now you're merged and you're together, and you two don't even really want to be with each other. And I'm saying this because I know three people, I can name three people, I'm not going to, but that are in marriages right now, and I knew before they did it they were making a mistake, and they knew before they did it that they were making a mistake, but they did it anyway because they just wanted to be married. I mean, what about, you know, those people and those situations? And at that point, what do you do? Do you continue to live that lie? Because at that point, you really don't want to be with that person. And I remember my pastor back in when I was in Atlanta, Dr. Brian Crew was doing a sermon, and he was talking about, you know, marriages and divorces, and he mentioned that when you marry the wrong person or somebody that doesn't fit in your spiritual vision, you spend that whole entire marriage trying to make that person or help that person get to the level where you are, because you guys were never equally yoked. You guys were never on the same level because you married that person for the sake of being married. Like you mentioned earlier, Dr. Breakthrough, you didn't go through marriage counseling, you didn't read any books, or even you did. Maybe you did go through marriage counseling, but you faked it out because you just wanted to be married. And it's like those situations are there, and I believe 99% of the time that those situations are probably situations that make our divorce rate so high. Because when you have TV shows, I watch them, so I'm guilty of it, like Whose Wedding Is It Anyway, Married Away, Bridezilla, Platinum Weddings. You have things like this that we see every day, and it makes women want to be married. And even some men watch it and get, you know, involved in it and believe that, you know, what's that saying, that a businessman that's married is trustworthy because, you know, he has something to lose. So when we have these things set in our mind and we take this big plunge, which I believe is a big, I mean, humongous plunge, and then you're stuck. Like, really, what do you do? Or how do you fix those situations? How do you make those, you know, knowing it wasn't right, right? Do you walk away? Do you get a divorce? Or do you stick it out? You thug it out and make it work. Now, I would love to have a marriage like you and your wife. I mean, that's great, and that's what I, you know, strive to have. But there are some people who just, their minds just don't go that far.
Correct, right. And I think, and thank you very much for sharing that. Those are some very powerful things, and again, things that we want to face and talk about here on the show. But also always keep in mind, what I always do is I address a problem and immediately get to a solution, bring it to, and we always shoot for the highest level. Like somebody said, if you aim for the stars, you know, I mean, the moon rather, even if you miss, you still fall among the stars. So we always want to be guiding people to the highest moral standards. Because if they miss, they still, you know, we're still getting to somewhere close. But in a situation, someone got, like I said, they got married, they don't like each other, you know, do they stick it out? Do they, I mean, if there's no physical abuse, there's no physical harm, I believe what was maybe a wrong motive for marriage in a wrong situation, once you cross, once you say those holy sacred vows, that is a sacred union ordained by God. And, you know, and when we understand the Bible teaching that God hates divorce, now, he doesn't hate divorced people. He hates divorce because, why? That's a symbol of Christ in the church. And what is the Bible says, what, Christ, what does he do with his bride? He loves the bride, and he helps to bring the best out of the bride. He helps, and so what happens is when someone says, okay, I've gotten this for the wrong reason, again, as Ray, I think it was Ray who brought out, then there needs to be some communication to say, okay, now, it was wrong. Our motives are wrong or whatever. So what are we going to do now? Are we going to be determined to stick this out and make this thing work? Or do we just want to go our separate ways? Because obviously if you have one person that says, I don't care what you do, I don't care. And you got the other person that says, well, I do care. Now, the Bible, again, teaches that one person who does care, that home can be sanctified and saved by that one person if they make that strong enough commitment. So you gotta have that communication. Is this what we want to do? Okay, we may have started off for the wrong reason. Are we willing now to make this reasoning right? Are we willing now to, you know, to go on the right way? Are we willing now to seek to do that? So that needs to be confronted. People, again, who are in the midst of their struggle, you know, what do they want to do? Do they want to always have this struggle? Or do they understand that, see, we haven't talked about this, but there's something called season. Now, wintertime is not, I mean, it's cold in the wintertime. It's not real pleasant outside. But if you understand seasons, then I'm not going to kill myself in wintertime because I know summer's coming. If I can just sing in there for summer's going to come. And sometimes relationships go through seasons, and there's a season of wintertime when things are cold. And then there's a season of summertime when things are great. There's a season of fall. There's a season. So sometimes you've got to understand that the season and how there's different phases that we go through. And just like I know right now, I mean, it's dark now, but if I just hang in for a while, the sun's coming up in the morning. So do I want to make that commitment and hang around till the sun comes up in the morning? Or do I want to say, because it's dark now, I'm just throwing up the towel? So these are things people have to take in consideration. Having said all that, my goal, my job as Dr. Breakthrough is to assist people to break through those hard times, to break through those barriers. See, barriers weren't made to stop us. Barriers were made to be broken. And I'm reminded of the story I talk about in my book, Your Breakthrough is Guaranteed, of the little boy who saw this caterpillar that was in a cocoon going through its metamorphosis, and he thought he was going to help it. So guess what he did? He took a little penknife out, and he cut a little hole, and out dropped this ugly, half-formed butterfly caterpillar that soon died. And he said to his dad, he said, Dad, I don't understand. I was trying to help it. What happened? And the dad explained. He said, see, God in his wisdom knows for this metamorphosis to go forth, for this caterpillar to go from this ugly, slow-moving caterpillar stuck on the ground or maybe crawling up a tree, for it to go through a metamorphosis, to be this beautiful, free-flying butterfly that floats through the air. It's got to go through this dark, dismal, painful time of being in the cocoon, and God ordained that as that butterfly, the caterpillar is metamorphosized into a butterfly, as it pushes and forces and struggles and finally can push itself out of the cocoon, all of that forcing causes the blood to rush down throughout the wings, to totally develop the wings, and so by the time he can push himself out, now that butterfly can now fly. It's fully developed because part of the developmental stage is the pain that it goes through. And sometimes when we think we're helping, we're hurting. And so we always understand, don't let hurt hurt you, but sometimes we can't let help hurt us. And we think sometimes we're helping a situation when we ditch it really soon, or we say, okay, I was wrong, you was wrong, let's just stop now. But sometimes a beautiful thing can turn out of it if the people have the right mindset. And my job, my goal is all about helping people that want to break through, assisting, letting them know they can have a breakthrough. It doesn't have to be this, I can't stand you, you don't stand me. Now, again, if they just give up, that's what it's going to end up to be. But I love, let me give you this real quick, and I'm going to stop talking, but I love what Muhammad Ali said. I mean, many people know the first part of it, but they don't know the last part. The first part, everybody knows. He said, I said I was the greatest. But now here's the part that many people never have heard of, and they don't understand, and if they would, it would change their lives. This has changed my life. Here's what he said. He said I was the greatest a long time before I ever believed it. Man, that's powerful. He said he was the greatest a long time before he ever believed it. In other words, he didn't even believe it, but he said what he wanted to believe. He said what he wanted to happen, even though he didn't believe it. And I'm really a strong believer. I have what's called a daily attitude adjuster. I'm a strong believer if we will start speaking what we want to happen in our relationships, even though it's not there. It may be the total opposite. And sometimes when I tell people, when you're saying these affirmations, it seems stupid and almost very uncomfortable because it's the opposite sometimes, the antithesis of what we really are now and what we're experiencing now. But what you got to understand is the way things are is they're not the way they have to be. There can be a total metamorphosis. And most importantly, in the mind of God, he already sees us at that appointed place. He already sees us with that breakthrough. And so if we can start doing like Muhammad Ali said, start stating what we want, even though we don't believe it, eventually we can say it long enough to where we start believing it. And once we believe it, then we can have it. Can you imagine this guy boxing, saying, I'm the greatest, and you have to box against the greatest, and then you lose. And all of a sudden, Muhammad Ali says to himself, well, maybe I really am the greatest. But he just keeps on saying it, although he doesn't believe it. And he wins another fight and another. And each one of those start helping him to really start believing it. And then when he started believing it himself, now he finds himself perhaps going down in history as being the greatest, if not one of the greatest, in the world, and totally changed the whole boxing scene. And I believe, regardless, I know people are struggling right now, and I know somebody's listening to us that's hurting and maybe even in tears right now, but I'm telling you, my friend, the power that's in your words, the power that's in the Word of God, the power that's in your mind, you can start saying what you want, even though you don't believe it, even though it seems like it's so far off, and you can call those things which be not as though they were. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And that he is not a male, that he literally means all mankind, and we have to get to that place. So when I focus on those words and focus on those principles, now that causes my mind to have a shift, that causes my whole body to have a shift, and literally, we can bring a dead relationship back to life again. The same resurrection power of Christ, he said, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. And please understand, I'm not talking about what's easy, and I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It's like when I stack up bricks before I do my presentation or boards, or like I did tonight, but I bent a steel bar in my mouth to demonstrate to people. If we can understand, things are hard, but if we're dedicated enough, if we're focused enough, we can break through these things. And I just want to be that voice tonight saying to somebody, listen, my friend, I've been there, and in the midst of a relationship, you're hurting and in pain, and you wonder, can this thing ever be turned around? Can this thing be saved? You got to learn to stop feeding those thoughts and start feeding, yes, it can, and start saying, yes, it can, and get you around some people who believe it can, and you can see things transform and transpire. I close with this illustration. There was a woman who attended a church, and the ushers, they would come by and they said, well, the church is getting packed, we need this seat. And she said, well, no, I'm saving this seat for my husband. And the service would come and would end, and the husband never showed up. At the next service, the same lady would be sitting, and the deacons, they would say, you know, or the ushers, well, you know, we need this seat, you know, it's getting crowded. And she would say, no, I'm saving this seat for my husband. It's a true story, and the story is told 13 years every Sunday morning, Sunday night. That church had a Wednesday night service. That same woman kept telling them, I'm saving this seat for my husband. 13 years later, he got saved, joined the church, and was there sitting beside her. And little did those ushers know, when she said, I'm saving this seat for my husband, he was an alcoholic, far away, no thoughts of God whatsoever. But her belief and faith eventually brought him in. Now, that's a high price to pay. Some people may decide not to pay that price. But my job is to try to find those and encourage them that, hey, there is hope, although it seems like it may not be hopeful right now.
Wow.
Wow.
13 years? Man, some of us can't wait 13 hours, man, to hear from the right person. Not let alone.
Come
on. I'm going to be honest with you, man. And we, Dr. Breakthrough, I really appreciate you being on with us tonight. I know our listeners need to hear this, because when we talk about relationships, we're talking about a connection between two people. You know,
yes.
Not just a 30-second or a 30-minute or 25-minute episode of the Cosbys. We're talking real life here. You know, this is real deal. This thing is going on until we pass away. Either one of us or both of us pass away. So this thing that we are entering into, it has to be worked out. And it has to have a solid foundation of communication. You know, we must recognize the third party that is involved, which is God. And it just must be recognized that what we're doing takes help. And a lot of people sometimes just think that, well, I can fix him, or she'll get her act together.
Mm.
And if it doesn't work out on their time the way they think it should be, it's easy to toss the hands up and say, you know what, F this, man, I'm done. I can't take it no more. Because what you tend to get is, in most situations, they said I do, but they didn't mean it, because instead of communicating to that person, they may have reached out to their brother or their sister or their friends or their mama, or, you know, texting a friend and say, what do you think about this situation? And usually when you find yourself in that situation, the easiest thing to do is allow someone else to interfere and give you, I'll just use the word advice, for lack of better words right now,
to
give you advice on the situation.
Look at the hard to quote a song. Your back is breaking out really bad.
It's just not necessary, because what you're doing is you're getting an opinion from the outside, and that person doesn't know the whole story. So I've heard what you're saying, and one of the questions that I want to address, and something that was brought to me here in the studio, is, are you saying you should stick it out and make it happen, even if things don't, you feel like you didn't mean to really get married? Should you really stick it out and try to make things work, or can you just say, you know what, I really didn't want to be with you in the first place, and just acknowledge that fact up front, because I didn't mean to really marry you, or this wasn't what I really had in mind, so it may be the best thing to do is just quit. Sometimes you may find somebody else, like the song Usher says, you make me want to leave the one I'm with, and leave this person altogether, and maybe the grass could be greener on the other side, and I won't know until I actually leave this situation.
Well, you know, again, that's a powerful question. My take on it, though, as I wrote in my book, is I give a definition of what I call excuses. To me, excuses are tools of incompetence used to build mountains of nothingness. And those that subscribe to them sell them out to be anything. So we're either going to make excuses or we're going to make progress, but we can't make both. And in my earlier years, I'm sad to say, but I used my energy to make excuses. And Andy, they were so good, I believed in myself, and I literally was in a state of denial. And I talk about denial in my book, Denial. My definition for denial, my acronym is denial. Don't even know I am lying. And so finally, though, when I said, you know, the same energy I'm using to make excuses, I could just make a shift, have a breakthrough, and use my energy to make progress. And when I started, and I had that shift and that breakthrough, and when I started using my same energy, instead of making excuses, started making progress, first of all, I felt better about myself, and I could see myself in the mirror and look myself in the mirror when I hadn't looked away. But then more importantly, as I started making progress, it did something amazing because people that were connected to me noticed the progress, and they got strength from what I was doing. So when I'm afraid sometimes it happens, yeah, you can just say, okay, I made a mistake, that's called quits. But sometimes what happens, though, we're humans, we're human beings, we're people of patterns. We act in patterns. And so when we do that in a relationship, one relationship, we end up, sometimes it becomes easier to do that in another relationship. It becomes easy to do that on the job. It becomes easy. And all of a sudden, sometimes we find ourselves in a place of a person of no commitments whatsoever, and it just gets very easy. Like, for instance, my definition of focus or my acronym is firmly on course until successful, but many people, they think it's firmly on course until stressful. And so as soon as the stress comes, as soon as that, they throw it out the window. So, no, this is not an easy topic, and this is not easy, but it's kind of like when I joined martial arts. You know, back then, that's different now, but back then, they had initiation. You know why? They wanted to see if you were really serious, and they were going to separate those who just had this flimsy little thought about learning martial arts versus those who really wanted to learn it. And there's a lot of people who quit actually before they really joined because they didn't want to go through the initiation and the pain. And that was one of the things that helped me to kind of stick it out. And, you know, sometimes we have to take that in consideration. So, again, my heart really goes out to the person who maybe got connected with this person who said I do and they didn't really mean it. And now that person is like, man, you know, look at what's going on here. Look at what's happening now. But, again, the best thing I can do is try to give hope to that person. And again, if they have to walk away, they have to walk away. But they have to, again, at least be able to slip themselves in a mirror and say, but I gave it my best. I gave it everything I could. And I now can say I did my best. I lived up to my part of the deal. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to thank you for being on with us tonight. We have had a fabulous and a fantastic time learning from you and learning about you. Before we conclude the show, can you give our listeners and our bloggers a little insight on who you are and what you got going on? I know we got just a few minutes before the show is going to end tonight.
Well, yes, we've been very blessed in our life, and the reason I want to bless other people is I believe it's a responsibility. Others have poured in my life, I want to pour into theirs. So I wrote a very powerful book. It's called Your Breakthrough is Guaranteed. And Andy, the book actually has 100% money-back guarantee. If you read the book and implement it and you don't receive a breakthrough, you just send the book back. Now, what we've done is makes this so different is the book is actually not a book. It's what I call a edutaining life transformational mechanism. So right now, they go to www.drbreakthrough.com. That's D-R, no period, drbreakthrough.com. They'll see me do a demonstration, break bricks on it, and also they can go through your blog, of course, and find that. But the book is going to have two tickets to my live seminar. Each ticket is worth $997, and it has an expiration date of May of 2012, so they have time. And every other month we have that seminar. We've got one coming up in Raleigh, North Carolina on the 21st. And it's an all-day teaching where I train people my seven steps on how to break through any barrier that comes in our way. And I want people to take advantage of that. Anybody that goes on there and orders the book today or when they hear this, if they just mention I was on the show, you know, how was your weekend, I'm going to also throw in a free one of my powerful CD trainings and also one of my powerful DVDs. Now, people buy my CDs for $47 a piece, my DVDs for $87 a piece. I'm going to put that free in with the book, CD, and DVD. If they mention, though, they got to mention either your name, they heard me on the show, and I want to bless the people. I want to empower the people. I want to come speak for your church, speak for your group, folks. I love empowering people. I've spoken in all 50 states, 27 countries. My wife and I, we've dedicated our lives to empowering people. And by the way, our book is coming out soon. We're writing a book together called Computer Love, How to Find the Love of Your Life Online.
Oh, wow.
Very good. That's powerful. Ladies and gentlemen, go to the blog, check out the link. I know we're running out of time right now, but tune in this weekend where we're doing a school special with the children, back to school, the student body. And next week we're going to have on Mr. Earl Lloyd, the first NBA, African-American NBA player, as we talk about shadows off the court then and now. BlogTalkRadio.com/How Was Your Weekend? Was with a Z. Log in, listen, and learn, fam. It's been great. On behalf of myself and Dr. Breakthrough Harris, we want to say thank you. God bless you. Good night. And we gone.
All righty. DrBreakthrough.com. See ya.